Good morning. This is the Blessings of Liberty with Brother Wayne Greer. It's good to be in the studio this morning. Mike Kelly just said it was 9 degrees outside. That's pretty cold. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Hey, man, I'm warm inside. I'm glad I'm not outside right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. It's one of those days you got too much on inside and not enough on outside. But
layering. It's all about the layering.
Somebody asked me if it was melting outside. Not that I've seen. Roads are bad and snow-packed and the wind is howling, and it's pretty bad out there. Not much improvement from yesterday.
Not super duper. I was driving last night and driving home, and it was whiteout conditions, man. We couldn't go more than like 15 miles an hour.
Yeah, it's been bad. So we've got a few announcements I'm going to make. We've not had church in 2 Sundays, so just going to touch base with the folks and a few things like that. And before I get started today, well, of course, we didn't have church last Sunday. We were supposed to have our Christmas play last Sunday night, so we're going to tentatively move that to this Sunday morning during the Sunday school hour, and then we will have our final play practice tomorrow night, Wednesday night. So everybody involved in that, just sort of letting you know, we're trying to get everything out by word of mouth and things along those lines. But I've been in revival last week down at Midway Baptist Church, and we were supposed to start back Wednesday night, but we've postponed that till the following Monday night. So, and I just found that out right before I left, so it messed up my announcement sheet here. But anyway, lots going on, and you just got to take it as it comes. That's all we can do. But anyway, it's good to be here on the radio broadcast this morning, Blessings of Liberty. What I'm going to do, I'm going to read some scripture, and I'm going to teach a series of lessons using the Bible and as sort of a reference book, the 5,000 Year Leap. The next two broadcasts, I'm not going to start till after Christmas. Just too much going on. I'm trying to get some of these books ordered and get them in. If you order 10 or more, you can get them for like $5 a piece.
Wow.
If you go to the store and buy them, they're $20 a piece.
Wow.
And so I'm going to order some of those, try to make them available and get some places set up to pick them up. So got all that in the works. But if you are somewhere and you have an opportunity to buy a copy of the 5,000 Year Leap, please go ahead and do that. And we're going to get started with this after Christmas. But I've been studying along the lines of Christmas in America, history. In America, the history of Christmas in America. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. But first of all, I'm going to read the scripture. Should have brought it up and let Linus read it. That's one of the...
It's a classic.
Yeah, I've seen that several times lately. Luke chapter number 2, I'm going to read. And it is, you know, people say, boy, I hope we have a white Christmas. Well, if you wanted a white Christmas this year, you have got your gift.
Yeah,
I don't think this will go anywhere before Christmas. Let's see. I'm going to read out of Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 8. And they were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And I'm going to stop reading right there, but verse number 11, what the angel said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And what I was referring to there with Linus was where he said to Charlie Brown, I know the true meaning of Christmas. And he went and he quoted Luke chapter 2, and that is a good little thing to be reminded of, and something I'm glad to see is still on television. But I wanted to read that, and I'm going to talk just a little bit today about Christmas in America, what it has been, and maybe some things that you weren't aware of but should be aware of. And I've been using the little outline lately. I've given a scriptural principle. Now, Christmas has always been Christmas. There's when we talk about Christmas, there's no going back and establishing what Christmas is all about. Christmas is about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's no going back and You know, it's always been that way. It has not always been widely celebrated in America, though, even up until the 1840s, up through the 1880s, 1890s, Christmas was not widely celebrated in America. And the reason that it was not widely celebrated in America, now it had been being celebrated in Christendom, I guess would be a good way to put that, but Christians had celebrated the birth of Christ, but not widely. The Easter, the resurrection, was far more, or has been far more popular, historically speaking, than Christmas. And the reason for that is because in the early America, the Pilgrims, the Puritans, the Congregationalists, the Baptist people, there's a distinction that secular historians make between high church and low church. And when I say high church and low church, the high church being the established churches in early America, those that were recognized as state churches, such as the Anglican Church, the Episcopalian, even the Catholic Church in Louisiana and other places like that, they call that the high church. The high church having a lot more form and fashion and ritual and a set service that they go through. And then the distinction secular history makes is the low church, the lesser politically influential denominations, the ones that didn't have all the ritual and had a far more simple form of worship, such as the Pilgrims, such as the Baptist people, even the Congregationalist people and some different groups like that, they referred to as low church. But there was a movement in America to get away from the form and the ritual and make worship far more simple than it had been in the state churches. And so that in mind, there was no biblical precedent for a public celebration of Christmas. What I mean by that, the Bible does not say thou shalt honor Christ's birthday. In fact, in the Bible, there's no date that establishes the actual birthday of the Lord Jesus. And I was talking to somebody a few years ago, and I made the statement that I believe that actually Christ was more likely born in the late spring, early summer months, because they were outside at night keeping watch over their flocks. And somebody, the person I was talking to, said, well, but over in Jerusalem, Bethlehem, over in that area of the world, they no doubt had a different weather pattern than we do. But I think if you get on the Weather Channel and you look different, if you look over there in Jerusalem, you'll find they have cold winters and they had snow and things just like we do. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. In early America, one of the reasons why Christmas was not widely celebrated is because it corresponded with the pagan holiday of the winter solstice, which is next Tuesday, by the way, December the 21st. And the pagans, or the heathen peoples, they worship nature. And so at every changing of the season, and that's what the winter solstice is, it's December the 21st will be the shortest day of the year. And they've celebrated as the dying of the sun god and the rebirth. The days will actually begin to get longer after December 21st. So in early America, a celebration at that time of the year was considered more pagan than it was Christian. But there was something, and I had never realized this before, I wanted to share with you. In America, it wasn't widely celebrated until the 1840s and from then on. And there was a young author who had had some success, but he had published three books, and they had bombed. They were not very good, and they were not picked up by the public and read. This author was in the country of England, and so he was walking the streets of London, I guess it is, and he was thinking, you know, about a story that he could write that would be popular, that people would like. And so he gained some inspiration from walking the streets of London, and he He had the inspiration for a story that took him 6 weeks to write, and it was called A Christmas Carol. We're all familiar with Charles Dickens, and he wrote that book. It was published later on in America. It was widely accepted, and that really helped to turn the tide of making Christmas a more widely celebrated holiday in America. So that's a little maybe history about that that I certainly didn't know that I wanted to share with you this morning. But what I want to deal with this morning is a article that I have, and you can access this. There's a website called wallbuilders.com, and they have a lot of history, American history, and how it relates to Christianity on Wall Builders. And David Barton is the man sort of at the head front of that. But there's an article on there called Christmas with the Presidents. And I want to share with you some things today along the lines of Christmas that has been said by our presidents. And so I read the scripture, Luke chapter number 2, and Christmas in America was not widely celebrated until the 1800s, 1840s, 50s, even up until the late 1800s. And it was not, this is something that I wanted to bring out this morning, it was not widely contested until my generation. What I mean by that, late 1800s, early 1900s, you didn't have a lot of people coming along and saying, happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas. It was when it did catch on in America to be celebrated as a holiday, you didn't have this kickback that you do today about nativity scenes. In fact, until 1969 in our country, in 1969, the pageant of peace. That's something that happens every year in Washington, D.C. It has to do with the lighting of the official Christmas tree up in Washington. But in 1969, the pageant of peace was embroiled in legal controversy over the use of religious symbols. And in 1973, the nativity scene that had always been part of the pageant was no longer allowed. And so that happened in 1969 and 1973, and it wasn't until 1984 that the nativity scene was allowed to return to the pageant of peace. And when the national Christmas tree was lit on December the 13th, temperatures were in the 70s, making it one of the warmest tree lightings in history. So that's sort of a Paul Harvey moment there. That's the rest of the story. But let me share with you, as I was reading through this, and the article goes all the way back, of course, to George Washington. But what struck me was how many Christmases have been spent with our nation at war. And war at Christmas is a happy time, but it's also a sad time because many times people are away, they're fighting. Our nation has been embroiled in war down through the years. But anyway, I wanted to start with, and I could take a month and deal with this. There's so much material and information, but I wanted to start with one of our presidents, Franklin Eleanor Roosevelt. Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt, call him FDR, but from 1933 to 1945, and you'll notice that was a pretty long time for a person to be in as president. He was actually elected to 3 terms as president. That was before the present day limitation to 2 terms. But anyway, this is what Franklin FDR, his Christmas address, December the 24th, 1935. And some of these things that the presidents have said in the past sound like something that would come from a pulpit, sound like something that a preacher would say, and definitely is good advice for us to heed to at this time of the year. So I thought it'd be fitting to share some of these things. FDR, December 24th, Christmas Eve, 1935. He said this, "Around the manger of the babe of Bethlehem, all nations and kindreds and tongues," that's from Revelation 7 and verse number 9. He said, "All nations and kindreds and tongues find unity. The spirit of Christmas breathes an eternal message of peace and goodwill to all men. We pause, therefore, on this holy night and rejoice that 1900 years ago, heralded by angels, there came into the world one whose message was of peace, who gave to all mankind a new commandment of love. In that message of love and of peace, we find the true meaning of Christmas. And so I greet you with the greeting of the angels on that first Christmas at Bethlehem, which resounding through the centuries still rings out with its eternal message, glory to God in the highest, and on peace, goodwill to men. And so FDR read that December the 24th, his Christmas Eve message to America, and I thought that was pretty good. And then December the 24th, 1939, now this is at a time when World War II was already, many nations were at war. We in America were not yet involved in the war. So if we can think back in time to what was happening in our country just prior to World War II, this is a few years later. FDR, once again on December the 24th, he said, "In the happiness of this eve, of the most blessed day in the year, I give to all of my countrymen the old, old greeting, Merry Christmas, Happy Christmas. Let us rather pray that we may give in strength to live for others, to live more closely to the words of the Sermon on the Mount, and to pray that peoples in the nations which are at war may also read, learn, and inwardly digest these deathless words. May their import reach into the hearts of all men and of all nations. I offer them as my Christmas message. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And I thought, if a president today gave that as his public address to the nations, I just don't know. There'd be so much uproar, and there'd be so much spoken out against that. That's all we'd hear for 2 months. Can you believe the president read the Sermon on the Mount on Christmas Eve and encouraged the nations of the world to get along and love each other and follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ? But that's part of our history as a nation, that a president would exhort people to get back to God and the God of the Bible and the message that we find from the babe in the manger who grew up to be a man, who died upon the cross for our sins. Isn't that interesting? I mean, today, I'd be amazed. I really would, to hear a president say something like that. And so I wanted to go on a little further. This is, we just had last Tuesday, and I meant to mention it, and it slipped my mind, but it was Pearl Harbor Day last Tuesday. And so this is what FDR, his address following Pearl Harbor, December the 24th, 1941. Now, he would give a Christmas Eve message to the nation every year. And this is just one example of one president. But here's what, can you imagine if we go back, if we could go back and think about this terrorist attack on our country? We were not at war. We were not involved in the war. But here all of a sudden our nation has been attacked. And just a few weeks later, I mean, they had already made the decision to get involved in the war. And families going to be separated. There's death. People are going to die by the multitudes by this involvement in World War II. And so here's what FDR says, December 24th, 1941. He said, "There are many men and women in America, sincere and faithful men and women, who are asking themselves this Christmas, how can we meet and worship with love and with uplifted spirit and heart in a world at war? A world of fighting and suffering and death. How can we put the world aside to rejoice in the birth of Christ? And even as we ask these questions, we know the answer. There's another preparation demanded of this nation beyond and beside the preparation of weapons and materials of war. There is demanded also of us the preparation of our hearts, the arming of our hearts. And when we make ready our hearts for the labor and the suffering and the ultimate victory which lie ahead, then we observe Christmas Day with all of its memories and all of its meanings as we should, looking into the days to come. I have set aside a day of prayer. And there's something else we do not hear very much of in this day and time. In fact, the last National Day of Prayer, and now there is a National Day of Prayer celebrated every year in America in the month of May, but the President Obama, he didn't even observe or acknowledge the Day of Prayer, I believe, the last 2 years. I know at least last year didn't even have anything to do with it. How far we've come. You know, I use the outline on this program many times now. Scriptural precedent. Of course, we know what Christmas is about. It's about the birth of the Savior. Historical incident. All through the history of our nation, we find even presidents acknowledging the birth of Christ and proclaiming the message, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And then a present day application. Now there's this antagonism towards Christmas. But I'll tell you, it has not always been that way in our country. And at the end of World War II, I wanted to at least get through this, and it looks like I will, but at the end of World War II, December the 24th, 1944, this is following D-Day, which effectively brought an end to World War II. Here's what FDR said on this Christmas Eve. He said, "Here at home, we will celebrate this Christmas Day in our traditional American way because of its deep spiritual meaning to us, because the teachings of Christ are fundamental in our lives, and because we want our youngest generation to grow up knowing the significance of this tradition and the story of the coming of the immortal Prince of Peace and Goodwill." He then led in prayer for the troops at that point. Then he said, "We pray that with victory will come a new day of peace on earth in which all the nations of the earth will join together for all time. That is the spirit of Christmas, the holy day. May that spirit live and grow throughout the world in all the years to come." And so I thought that was very significant that he called for a time of following the Prince of Peace at the end of World War II, which brought about a great deal of suffering and death throughout all the world. And then I want to read one more. I believe I'll have time for that. This was from President Harry Truman, who was president from 1945 to 1953. And he said on December the 24th, 1945, this was the year, of course, after D-Day, he said, "This is the Christmas that a war-weary world has prayed for through long and awful years." And I think we live in a war-weary world as well. It's went on and on and on. And he goes on and he says, "We meet in the spirit of the first Christmas when the midnight choir sang the hymn of joy. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let us not forget that the coming of the Savior brought a time of long peace to the Roman world. From the manger of Bethlehem came a new appeal to the minds and hearts of men. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another." And he takes that from the book of John and the words of the Lord Jesus himself. And then he goes on and he says, "Would that the world would accept that message in this time of its greatest need. We must strive without ceasing to make real the prophecy of Isaiah. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." And then he said, "In this day," he was talking about that day that Isaiah was talking about there. He said, "Whether it be far or near, the kingdoms of this world shall become indeed the kingdom of God, and he will reign forever and ever, Lord of lords and King of kings." So President Truman was not saying that they would bring about peace on earth and goodwill toward men, but that Christ would bring about peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And that is the message of Christmas. And maybe that's why there's so much antagonism and so much controversy in this day and time about a little old thing like saying Merry Christmas or having a nativity scene in a store or in a courthouse or in a public place or something like that, because it is so contrary to what some in the world are trying to do. They're trying to have a kingdom without having Christ, but there'll never be the greatest kingdom without the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to go back and just point that out in Luke chapter 2 one more time. The message of the angel, the message of the very first Christmas, was not about Santa Claus, was not about gifts, was not about me and you and what we want and all these things. But it said in verse 9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Christmas is not just for Americans, but it's for everybody. It's for all people. It's for all nations. Even the past presidents recognize this. And so he said, shall be to all people. Verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And I don't know about you today, but I long for that time. I long for a time where the world is right. There's so much wrong in the world, but I'm thankful that as a Christian, that we have a message of hope that there's coming a time, there's coming a day when things in the world will be right. And they'll not be made right by the efforts of man, but they'll be made right by, as President Truman even recognized, he said, "In this day, whether it be far or near, the kingdoms of this world shall become indeed the kingdom of God, and he will reign forever and ever, Lord of lords and King of kings." So what a great day to look forward to. And so Christmas is more than what we give it credence to sometimes. It has a far larger message, which affects the whole world. And our time is quickly come and gone today. We're almost done, but I do want to remind you before we go off the air today that this is brought to you by the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We'd love for you to come and visit with us. Lord willing, if the blizzard subsides this Sunday morning, we will have our, at 10 o'clock, we'll have our Christmas program. Then immediately following that, we'll have our Sunday morning, we'll have a preaching service. And the Lord has laid a message on my heart out of Luke chapter number 2. And I trust that if you don't have somewhere to go, we would love for you to come and be with us and share that time with us. We appreciate the church and them supporting and the radio broadcast here, Blessings of Liberty. And I've got some more things along these lines we're going to bring you, Lord willing, on next Tuesday. And also, you can get the radio broadcasts, you can get sermons on the church from the church website, mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org. So that's available as well. And we appreciate you listening in. Our time is quickly come and gone today. Have a good day. God bless.
And I'm Scott Frigeman on the North Carolina News Network. A British judge today granted bail to WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. CBS News correspondent Elizabeth Palmer was at the courthouse in London.
When the news came out that Assange had been granted bail, a great cheer went up among the protesters. There's a great